Mudslides caused by fast-moving thunderstorms have left thousands of people stranded and one person dead in Southern California. Not the kind of storm the state was hoping for to help ease the historic drought. A drought that has gotten so bad that California recently gave the go-ahead to local cities and towns to fine people up to $500 for wasting water. Joining us from her office in Oakland, California, is Felicia Marcus, chairwoman of the California Water Resources Control Board, which manages water quality and allocation in California. Felicia, welcome.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Well, do you think this goes far enough to allow $500 fines or fines of up to $500 for people who are caught wasting water?
Well, what goes far enough is an interesting question. What we put out, we don't think is what everybody should do. We think it's the least that everybody should do. And so we took the unusual step of doing statewide water conservation regulations to get local agencies to step up and do what they really ought to do in the drought. So we're actually hoping for far more. The $500 fine, which is an up to $500 fine, is an additional tool in the toolkit.
But why not go as far as, let's say, mandatory water restrictions on all Californians?
Well, it's an interesting question. I think these mandatory restrictions on outdoor irrigation are something that seem reasonable across the board. Many communities around the state have very extensive water conservation rules, and they do them in different ways that are locally appropriate. They may have outdoor irrigation limits. Some have gone so far as to say, here's a reasonable amount of water for a household of four, for example, inside, and here's a reasonable amount outside given our climate. So they've gone as far as to do that and then charge people higher levels. So there are just a lot of different ways to get to the same result, and we just felt that the drought was so bad that they really needed to act.
Well, where do you see the most waste right now in California?
Well, it's hard to say. I think the sense is, our sense was that outdoor irrigation in the urban context
Meaning watering people's lawns and stuff like that.
Yeah, overwatering. People routinely overwater their lawns. They don't really know how much water their lawn needs, and they routinely are watering the 3 feet under their lawn. Actually, residential users in California use between 30 and 80% of all their water outdoors. So we thought that was the place to send a message that everybody could partake in. Because we have some communities that have been doing conservation for 20 years and have yielded miracles, but they can still go further. And then we have other communities who are just getting started.
Well, and then we have the stories that are coming out of Los Angeles, this flooding at the UCLA campus because of a water main break. And after all of the stories about the drought and how difficult things are, you start to think about the water infrastructure in California, whether it's really up to the task.
Well, I think that's a good question. Having run a public works department in Los Angeles, the other side of the system, fixing your leaks and your pipes is a very big investment that no one ever sees because it's invisible. And with 3,000 miles of roadways and pipes underlying them, and in LA, it's hard to pinpoint the next place that's going to go. And in the drinking water side, the lines need to be pressurized to keep bacteria out. And so there's much more wear and tear on those pipes. So it's a really unfortunate occurrence for a whole host of reasons.
And then there is the Central Valley, which is, of course, one of the breadbaskets of the nation, a real agricultural producer. And you have to wonder whether California can remain such a big producer of our agriculture at the same time that it's got these exploding populations in the cities and so many people that need all that water.
Well, that's precisely the reason that we need to really up our game on conservation. There's still a long way to go in low-hanging fruit on conservation, particularly in the urban sector where we have landscaping that is more reminiscent of the Midwest and a lush climate than the Mediterranean climate we really are. And if you think about it, you know, we're not just the breadbasket of the country and in some ways the world. We're the fruit bowl and the salad bowl. And in fact, they've been yielding far more agricultural production per drop of water because of the efficiency improvements that they've been able to make. And we're going to have to make a lot more. I think we can extend our precious water resources by thinking of them as precious water resources, doing more conservation, and increasingly people are turning, particularly in urban areas that have a density of population to do it, recycled water and even stormwater capture and storage in the ground. You have the city of LA digging up whole communities and greening them, but doing it in an intelligent way that's going to filter that water into the ground to save for dry periods. You know, Israel and other countries, Israel in particular, recycles almost 80% of their water. So we have a long way to go.
But they also do desalinization, which California has been behind the curve on, given the situation.
I don't know about that. We are doing it. We have some of the largest going in. Desal is a really important tool in the toolkit for certain communities. At the moment, it's still more expensive and energy intensive than recycling and stormwater. But there are places where they don't have the opportunities to use those resources as well, or they don't have groundwater basins where they can store that water. And so it's an individual choice in a community what they want to spend money on.
Do you think it is time for the state to change its system of legacy water rights, which give these historic users that have been on the books for over a century, these are farms, maybe corporations and some individuals, the ability to use free water with little oversight?
Well, I think that's a tough question. You also have folks who've relied on the existing system and made investments and improvements, you know, over a system that's been around for 100 years. So you'd need to think carefully and thoughtfully about changing it. I don't think you would do it right in the middle of the drought when everybody is focused on it. But I anticipate that there will be folks asking those questions later. As the entity that enforces the current California water rights system, I wouldn't opine on what that system ought to be at this moment.
You're not ready to say that it needs to change?
I think it could be more efficient. That's about as much as I'll say. Okay. The tools we have to enforce it are pretty antiquated.
Finally, when do you think, personally, that this is going to end? Do you feel like you're going to – I mean, I know you can't tell me for sure, but are you thinking that maybe this winter when the rainy season comes, especially in Southern California, that maybe the drought will be over? Or are you getting ready for a much longer drought?
Well, we in this administration have been acting as if it will go on because we're very mindful of the Australian experience where their drought people kept thinking they were in the more common three-year drought cycle for about 6 years, and it ended up lasting over a decade and is known as the millennial drought. They had to do far more dramatic and expensive things at the end because they hadn't conserved early. And so the only California governor to issue a drought proclamation earlier than this governor was this governor the last time he was governor. And so we definitely rang the bell early, and that's part of why we took the dramatic step of doing statewide regulations to say to the local urbans, you have to act as if it's not going to rain next year or the next to be prudent. And, you know, I've said many times it's like buying a lottery ticket and thinking it's a retirement plan. You know, if it rains this fall, we'll all be deliriously happy. And if consumers feel inconvenienced or they're angry, local agencies can tell them to yell at me. You know, our view is just you cannot hem and haw over conservation, particularly on the outdoor irrigation arena where there's really no harm done. I mean, if the lawn may go brown, but it's not necessarily going to die.
Felicia Marcus is chairwoman of the California Water Resources Control Board, which manages water quality and allocation in California. Felicia Marcus, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for your interest. It's been a pleasure.